been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. How's it going? Good morning. How's everybody feeling out there? Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast.
Overcast.
Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, just riding high from the weekend, man. What a way to cap everything off. How's that? That's amazing.
Yeah, what a win. What a game. This one definitely, like we were talking, it was crazy last week about how this was going to be such a different game for the Ravens-Steelers rivalry, how we were worried about what was going to happen. But what a difference a week makes. That has to be one of the most exciting games I've watched in a long time featuring the Ravens and Steelers. What was it like being live there? What was the stadium atmosphere like? Because it was going off on TV. Like, it was, I wish I could have been there.
Oh, it was great. I mean, this is where being a fan is all about, and it sucks for those who throw in the towel on the team in fair weather. I'm not going to game and selling my tickets and giving them up because, dude, I'm glad it was heard on TV. It was playoff atmosphere for the first time since maybe the first two or three games of the season at home. I'm saying is I actually had no voice on a Monday. Usually, you know, I have the Seahawks game and the Chiefs game. There's no reason I have no voice. I hate to say that, but the crowd wasn't really into it. And even people were saying during the Chiefs game, like, this is a subdued crowd. It's just how it was, you know. It felt more like an Orioles atmosphere, like relaxed, and people just came to tailgate and enjoy the Ravens game. Not really, like, even on defense, you know, decibel level wasn't up. People weren't yelling and screaming on defense, but being that it was Ravens Steelers, it added to it. The last home game of the year until next season, I think everything came together, and boy, we got into it early, especially on that fourth down stuff when they went down and they didn't get it. It was momentum. Dude, the stadium was playoff atmosphere, man. Can't say enough. It was intense, bro.
That's really good to hear, and it was quite a fun one to watch, Ravens-Steelers. What did you think of the Steelers, just the way they played? Because from what I saw on TV, it looked like the Steelers weren't taking the Ravens seriously, like they weren't prepared for this team, as if they were looking past the Ravens. And I think that might have been their undoing, because the Ravens came in, and they were ready to play and have the next chapter in this rivalry continue. And the Steelers just looked like they weren't ready for them.
No, that usually what happens to us, right? I mean, in that position, we usually overlook an opponent or take them lightly and not play up to our potential. That's exactly what the Steelers did. I mean, you know, Tomlin said it best in the postgame, you know, we're capable of beating people, but we're capable of losing to people, too. So it's like, you know, they just didn't bring their end game, and they took us lightly, and we just said, we don't care. You're Ravens Steelers, and we have nothing to play for, but we're still going to beat you anyway. And the shooter resilience, how the tie turned. I mean, the defense, they were gashing us with the run, you know, and then all of a sudden they go for it, you know, get greedy. We stuff them, and the momentum turned. You know, we went right back down the field, scored seven, and the Steelers were like, hey, we better wake up. And they just couldn't get it going in the first half. And when they tried to in the second half and the third quarter, when they started making them good pattern plays across the middle and Brown was starting to get loose, I looked at my buddy and I said, if we don't score another touchdown, they're going to start. I mean, we can't hold them at bay for this long. They're going to start breaking loose, and it was a matter of time. And you've seen the tie turn where the third and fourth quarters, man, it was a war, man. It was a struggle. It was a true blue boxing matches, whatever you call it. It was just toe-to-toe, blow-for-blow. It was just amazing, man. So you're right, man. They didn't play up to their potential. Wouldn't say we did. I mean, we had some mistakes, but overall, what a great team win. It shows this team can fight, man. I'm proud of these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but Snoop Dogg put out an Instagram video about how much he can't stand playing the Ravens. And he's like, man, you guys just got to lay down. You got nothing to play for. What are you doing? I think the fact that the Ravens didn't lay down and he's like, what are you fighting for? You're not going to be in the playoffs, whatever, whatever. I think it proves that the Ravens, no matter what week it is, they're gonna do their best they can. I mean, yeah, we do have a lot of injured guys. We got a lot of rookies and a lot of practice squad guys on the team, but for the most part, they all performed the way they were supposed to do it. I mean, if the Steelers didn't perform up to where they should have been, that's not the Ravens' fault. You know, the Ravens did what they had to do. They played a game. They went for a win, and it might have angered Snoop Dogg, but that's the way the Ravens play.
That is the way the Ravens play, man. And speaking of that, I thought it was comical because the Ravens trolled that in the best way possible. Obviously, we know years ago, Snoop Dogg visited the Ravens camp, and there was a great picture of Snoop Dogg in a Ravens floppy hat standing next to Ray Lewis. So the joke's on him if he thinks we're going to lay down, because he should have known better. He's seen his practice, especially Ray Lewis.
but what kind of fan is that? I mean, honestly, would you, like, if you were a Ravens fan going against a team that wasn't going to go in the playoffs – and you were having such a problem, would you be blaming the other team? I mean, that's
I understand
him being frustrated and everything, but to be like, why aren't you guys just laying down? You should be doing this. Why you got to make this so hard? Really?
Well, you know, that's what their reaction is. It's natural, my friend, but you know, it would be the other way around. You know, it would be the other way around because, you know, if we were in that position fighting for a playoff spot and they were out of it, you know full well that they're going to knock us out of playoffs. You know that they're going to go, Tomlin's going to go, hey, we need to get these boys coached up and played up because we got to beat them. So, you know how it goes. I mean, it's a rival. No matter what it comes down to, you always like to beat your rival. And it came down to beating them and then beating them at their own game. I have to say, man, obviously I didn't see it on TV. I saw the highlights once, but I'm going to go rewatch them. Again, but I didn't really see the troll sides, but my dad said that Upshaw was completely lined up in the neutral zone. It was just blatant, stupid mental error on the pick six, which would have basically sealed the game.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we didn't know, but the reaction to stadium, I tell you what, when Jimmy Smith, and when he picked that off, and when I saw he was up the sidelines coming right towards us for clear path to the end zone, dude, you would think we won a Super Bowl, bro. I was like high-fiving, tripping over chairs. My buddy had me in his arms. I'm like elated, arms in the air. I freaking lost it. And we were just like elated. And then I heard the grumblings. And then we turn around and we see that piece of yellow laundry garbage on the ground. And we're like, yeah. And then when they called that back, and then it was just like crazy because like we knew they were going to go right in and score. It was just like the tie. I mean, they would have been down 20. They would have been down 27-10. It would have been virtually, basically over, game, seal, match. And I have to tell you this, though. I have to tell you this because for the sake of it, but this is how stupid Steeler fans are. Okay, ready? You've seen me in shoulder pads and the football helmet, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, this is the second, not one, and this was in their house. Now they're in our house. Two. This is two times now. I don't think this was directed towards me. It may have been. It may not have been. I don't know. But after the pick six, because we didn't see the flag, we were all going crazy. And after the celebration, like, and then they took it back, a beer come flying down from behind us. And it got some of me. It got some of the people next to me. It got some people in front of me. I don't know where it came from. But I can tell you this right now. There wasn't many Steeler fans around me. It was more or less Ravens fans. And I think this sort of family, they've been here before because they were sitting in front of us, and she's wearing a Steelers jersey, and she had her like three kids and her husband, and they were there last year, and we were like joking like, hey, we recognize you from last year and all that junk, but they were nice. But and I'm like looking around, and I think I found who the culprit was, because there was some guy like looking like he was taking video, and he was sitting there like chuckling and like with this like stupid laugh, and I'm like, I think I know who it is. But it's like, you think you're going to dare pick, and I don't know if it was directed towards me or not, Brandon. I'm not going to say it was,
right.
But if it was, you're going to dare, number one, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, coming into the opposing stadium and doing that. And two, you're going to throw it to the only fan in the stands who could really put a bruising on you in shorter pads and a helmet. I don't think so, dude. Like, you picked the wrong guy to do that with. So, but with that being said, there was really no real major fights and altercations. I mean, not especially in the stands I was in. I mean, who knows what happened in the other parts of the stadium or even outside. But, I mean, it was chippy. Even my buddy sat next to me. He's like, in the stands, he's like, dude, it's third quarter. This is getting intense. And, I mean, we were going back and forth a little bit because that's the game the emotion was. But, no, there wasn't no real, like, cops had come in the stands and it ruined our ability to watch the game. It wasn't really, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it got bad, but it wasn't as bad as we could have, you know, anticipated to be. So it was great. The fans were great. We sent the pack in the best way possible. The looks on our faces were priceless, man. There's a row of Steeler fans behind me, like four or five of them in a row. Like directly behind me, and it's just, and they're in a sea of purple. There's nothing but Ravens fans around, which I have to give. If I could high five every Raven fan that went to the game and stand in a line and high five them and hug them, I would, because kudos to them and not selling their tickets and letting Steeler fans invade and take the stadium. I'm actually impressed because the Seahawks took over and the Chiefs fans took over, but we didn't let Steeler fans take over. And Ravens Nation, round of applause, man. Great.
Yeah, that's what I was really happy to see. I mean, we definitely on TV, you could see some terrible towels. The cameras picked up, you know, little clusters, but it was not like...
expected that.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of purple in the stands. And, you know, I'm guessing a lot of people got these as Christmas gifts. You know, it's the first game after Christmas, so some of these might be first-timers coming to a stadium as well. I mean,
it's... But what a game.
Yeah, exactly. What a great experience for them. It sucks for you that you know, there was a beer thrown towards you or whatever. You know, that does suck, but you know, you never want something like that to happen, but I mean,
well, even if it did land on me, and it is what it is, and I wouldn't escalate stuff. But like when we were walking out of, we shared this way on the podcast back when we beat them in the playoffs, we're walking down the stadium like escalator and someone chucks a aluminum bottle at me, and of course it's just square on the side of the helmet, and I'm laughing like, "Why wear the helmet, huh?" But it's just, and even the guy behind me, he was still a fan. He's like, "We're not like that." I'm like, "I know, some drunk a-hole wants to prove a point." I said, "He's gonna throw a beer at a guy that has shoulder pads and a helmet. Yeah, he's a jerk, because I could just, you know, put him against the wall." But that's why I'm like, really? But you know, and I wouldn't really do anything anyway to inhibit that, because I don't want that to be the reason why I can't wear my gear in the stands. So I'm definitely going to play it cool at that point. I would just have the authorities throw him out in the garbage where he belongs.
Right.
But with that being said, there's some things I wanted to, because I tweeted out during the game, because I really try to keep it to a minimum, because like, obviously I want to enjoy the atmosphere in the game. But there's some things that I'm sure everybody found out, you know, when I was tweeting is, you know, what is up with the coverage? And I tweeted, you know, fire the secondary coach. And yeah, it might sound like every other, you know, fan, fire this guy, fire that guy, but that's coaching. I mean, he's got turn around. I mean, the penalties, there's two things I want to cover, especially the one touchdown where Antonio Brown caught it, where he could have caught it, but it was a pass interference call. I think it was Arrington on that play. It was 24, I believe. Mm-hmm. And like, the whole time, the receiver's looking up for the ball. He's extending his arms to catch, and our defender just has his last name and the numbers to the ball, and he just puts his hand up. That's not coverage.
No.
That's pass interference. And I'm like, turn around. All these guys got to turn around, play the ball. How many times do I see the Steelers defenders do that? The Patriots defenders doing that? Other teams defenders doing that? Not only to be an elite team. It could be a scrub team that ain't making the playoffs like us, but it's like, turn around. And then what is Lewis doing, just coming across the field and whacking the guy just out of bounds? I mean, these two penalties aren't called for, and it was stupid penalties, especially lining up all sides. Dumerville did it again, too. Third and five, line up all sides, gives them a breath of life and a first down. Guys, it's two stupid things that are fundamental. Turn around to look for the ball and line up on your side of the ball. How easy is that? I mean, we're not football players, Brandon, but how easy and simple is that? Just do your job.
Yeah, the defense, I mean, they did a pretty good job keeping the Steelers offense at bay, but there are, I mean, you're just giving away yards when you do this stupid stuff. Kendrick Lewis, you know, number 23, we got him from Houston last year. I don't know how he's played professional ball before this. I mean, he's defending one of the Steelers in the end zone, and, like, just pushes the guy so he falls down before the ball is anywhere even near him. Of course that's going to be blatant pass interference. And
that's why I didn't get mad. I didn't. Yeah. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, but like, you're giving up so many yards, and now you have them on like the what, the one or the two, because you did this in the end zone. Why are you giving them away so much stuff? And like you said, Arrington had a terrible game, and these guys all were from different teams. They aren't rookies. They're not guys that we just drafted or anything like that. They've played in the NFL before, and you're making these stupid plays. The secondary was such a bad story last year, and to be honest, we made moves in the offseason. I don't think it's improved in any way. Yeah, we have guys that have been around longer, but they don't act like it. Kendrick Lewis is such a detriment to this team, and he hurts the secondary more than he helps it. I mean, it's terrible. And talking about Jimmy Smith, he had such an up-and-down game. There would be times when he would be on the field, he'd be doing his thing, and I'd be like, what are you doing? You just signed a 5-year deal. How are you this bad at it? But then the next play, he'd get an interception or something like that. It was such a crazy up-and-down game for him, where I was like, fire the guy, but then he does brilliant stuff like these interceptions, and then I'd be like, all right, well, I
guess. Well, he should have had two.
Yes, but he 100% should have had two. Courtney Upshaw, he was offsides. We saw that on TV. It does suck. I thought it was funny, though, that they tweeted out when Jimmy Smith got into the locker room, he went up to Upshaw. They just kind of looked at each other, and he goes, steak dinner. And Courtney Upshaw just goes, wherever you want to go, man.
Well, it's more or less redemption, because he owned up to it. But yeah, Upshaw had that huge sack on the 4 second and 18 man, and that's when the stadium popped off. It was just a truly amazing experience to feel it in the stadium. We knew the tide was turning, and that was a crucial play in the game. So you're right, man. Steak dinner is all around. I wish you can give everybody steak dinner, because that was true redemption, because he's the one that caused the touchdown to be or returned back due to a bonehead penalty, but he redeemed himself and made a heck of a play. And speaking of more plays on the field, how about Za'Darius Smith, man, stepping up, man. The dude's a beast. If he can just get it together. That tackle on Williams, the dude fits the bill. I just hope he can just come into his own next year.
Yeah, you know, this is, like we said, this has been really a bad season for the Ravens, but we have seen guys like Za'Darius Smith get a chance to show what he can do. And, you know, if you're an NFL player or an NHL player or whatever, and you're on the practice squad or you're a rookie or whatever, you need experience. You need experience on the field to get better. You're not just going to, not every player is going to just have this God-given ability to be on the field and be able to make plays. And Za'Darius Smith is very good. He's huge. He can definitely get the job done, but he needs games like this to show that he can gain experience and show that he can work hard. And we're definitely seeing that from him. He had a very good game against the Steelers. He got the job done. And the only way he's going to get better is if he continues to play this way.
Of course it can. I mean, like I said, if he can get the playing time and he can get those games under his belt and the experience that you say, I think he's going to be a great asset for us going forward. You know, especially going into next season when we need you know, all the good talent we can get. And I think he played very well. He showed it up, and I definitely, when he got that loss, the tackle for loss, I was elated. I just really hope he comes into his own next year. I'm very impressed what he's been doing, building, and really hope he gets it going.
Yeah, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch coming up. And two guys on the offensive side I want to bring up. Let's start off with Buck Allen, this running back here. During the Purple Friday preview last week, during the game day preview, I said I want to see a big game from Buck Allen, because he's fumbled the last two games. That has really hurt the Ravens. He's showing he still has that rookie season on him. But this game, he really stepped up. He played very well. He did what he had to do, and I was very impressed with Buck Allen this game.
I was, man. I mean, we had the run and set up the pass, and I was very impressed with how timely the runs were, especially when they got down near the red zone and they really stuck to the run. I mean, they tried a couple pass plays that didn't work out in their favor, but they really stuck to the run, and I was very impressed with the game plan and the offensive scheme throughout the game, and they had to adjust. So it's very Buck Allen needs to really show that he can be a backup because he's going to end up being probably a number two or splitting number ones with Forsett next year after Forsett gets healthy. So Buck Allen showed that he can definitely handle the workload.
Now, there are a couple fan blogs out there that said that maybe it's time to cut the cord with Justin Forsett. Maybe it's time to let him go after this season and focus all of our attention to Buck Allen. But if you ask me, Forsett, he proved last year that he can play an entire season and still play well. And with Buck Allen, yes, I think he's got a lot of talent. Yes, I'm happy he's on this team, but I don't think he's ready to be the number one guy yet. I think you keep Justin Forsett here another year, and you have Buck Allen back him up. And if they split, you know, the one and twos, I'm fine with that. They're both very talented. But I think Forsett's got to be the number one guy here next year. I don't think it's time to let him go and free up cap space or whatever if you have Buck Allen, because Buck Allen, he's still a young guy. He's still sort of unproven.
That's a good point, man. I did read something like that, and it just any storyline that has personnel changes or, you know, opinions out there for a call for letting guys go and revamping the roster, it's always cause for good discussion because, you know, with the pieces we have now, I mean, Forsett had a great year 2 years ago, obviously got hurt this year, but I felt that Forsett was running hard and running well before he got hurt, especially in the game he did get hurt in, and it sucks because he was running up and down the field, and then he unfortunately got hurt now for the year. So I think Forsett would have more left to prove next year. I think we still stick with him for the way it's been going and see how the system works out. But I think we still keep Buck as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big question for next year at running back is, what do you do with a guy like Taliaferro, a guy who looked pretty well, but he can't stay healthy? And we saw what Terrence West brought this year. And he hasn't been a Raven for very long, but he could be a good third string guy. I mean, Taliaferro might be the odd man out at this point.
Well, he could, but you never know. Depending on how the roster shoots up, we could complete three on the roster, maybe four, because a lot of these teams do go with the two running back sets where, you know, they have packages for certain players and, you know, giving Forsett some breathing room there and not having the workload. So it could create the 1-2 punches. We all see it in the running back position. The Broncos do it well. You know, they got Hillman and Anderson who, you know, Anderson's the hard runner and Hillman provides that, you know, different look. So a lot of the teams, you know, especially about a handful of them stick with the running back, but most of the other teams do the two back sets.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens this offseason, but running back, the depth of the Ravens have right now is a very good thing to see. You got to feel comfortable about the running game for next season after seeing all these guys this year and seeing what they can do. So I'm going to be intrigued what they do this offseason. But big story, the one that everybody's talking about after this Ravens-Steelers game, the quarterback, Ryan Mallett. Guy comes in here for 2 weeks, decides, hey, you're our guy that's going to start against the big rival, against the Steelers. And Ryan Mallett came out, he took charge of this team, took charge of this offense, and he looks like he's been here all year. He had such a great game for the Ravens. You got to give it up to the guy. Ryan Mallett came in, and he kind of proved he might be the backup to Joe Flacco next year. He looked good.
He did. I'm very impressed with the guy. He looks solid. There could be a contributing factor to why he has such a great game, apart from his good play and obviously smart decisions. I mean, he had no turnovers, didn't really give the Steelers any room to, you know, show that they can get to him and rattle the kid. You know, what I was looking at is Trestman kept it simple this year and meant to keep Flacco's first year under his regime in the offense, wanted to keep it smooth. So I was researching this. He kept Kubiak's playbook. And one of the reasons when Ryan Mallett came here, obviously he's from the Texans where Kubiak's thumbprint was on that offense, is he knew the offense. So yeah. There was a reason why Mallett started other than Clawson, because Clawson's been the starter since, you know, Schaub got hurt. So that could be a contributing factor on why Mallett had such a success, because he knew the offense.
Yeah, that definitely could be something. I love the picture that you posted of Mark Trestman and Ryan Mallett hugging after the game, because it showed that Ryan Mallett really wants this. He wants to be a part of the NFL. He wants to be a part of, I think he wants to be a part of this organization for the long run. And it was an emotional time for him. He left the NFL. He was released, in October. Wasn't doing anything football related up until 2 weeks ago. And he came in, he did his homework, and he really took charge of this offense, and he listened to what the offensive coordinator had to say, and they worked well together. You could tell this was a big deal for Ryan Mallett. He definitely got very emotional about being able to play and come out with a win.
And definitely, man, it captured everything what this game was about. You know, the season, the frustration, the heartbreak, the also closeness of the games, and I have to tell you what, man, in driving home, you know, I turned the music off and I started to get emotional, and not for the wrong reasons, that, you know, the season went the way it is. I mean, yeah, I was sad it was the last home game this year and we're second to the last game already in week 17. But I got emotional for proud of this team, man. I was looking back on how the game was and being there, and very grateful that I have a season ticket to go to the game. And just looking at that picture, just it culminates the exact emotions, like, after that game, how exhausted and how drained and just how elated, man, it came out. And very proud of the guy. I think my opinion is he starts next week, and we'll get into that a little later. And then and what happens is I think he'll be Flacco's backup going into next year, just in case Flacco doesn't come back 100.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what will happen. This was one game with Ryan Mallett, and this was 2 weeks of training. He definitely had something to prove here. I want to see how he does this Sunday before I say he's going to be the backup. I will say, of the three that we have seen since Joe Flacco has gone down, he's the one that's been most impressive, the most confident, and the one that I think the offense can kind of stand in front of and be proud of. You know, no, nothing against Schaub or Clawson, but he definitely has the heart of a Ravens player. He's got something to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder. But I want to see what he does against the Bengals as well. So we'll get into that during the Purple Friday preview. I was very excited with Ryan Mallett. I thought he did a great job. He looked very impressive for a guy who has been out of the NFL for a couple months now. To come out and do that, definitely did great. Now let me ask you about Mark Trestman, a guy that we have not had very favorable things to say this year about Mark Trestman. I don't think either of us have been big fans of him, but to see him work with a young rookie or a young quarterback like Mallett and pull off a game like this, it definitely shows he has some talent. What do you think of this? This is my theory. Do you think he would be better as a quarterback coach and not an offensive coordinator, because he was able to bring this guy in who didn't know the playbook very well? He was here for 2 weeks and made him into a great quarterback that looked amazing against Big Ben and the Steelers.
It's a great theory, because if we recall, that's what kind of Rick Neuheisel was. You know, he went from the coordinator to the quarterback's coach, and I think it would bode well depending on the personnel changes, but I don't think for the long run and for the immediate future it would happen unless we landed a great offensive coordinator to really revamp that. I don't think that Mark Trestman's out now. I think we're going to give him at least one more year, and until we see what happens. I mean, you have to figure, he didn't have Flacco for half the year. So, I mean, yeah, he wasn't getting it done in the beginning, but getting his first year. So we'll see what happens, but I think we give it one more year and see how that works out. But it's a great theory. I love it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens with Trestman, because neither of us have been impressed with him. But I guess if you do give him another year, he might be able to do a little bit more. I just remember that it was an early game. It was one of the first 4 weeks. I don't remember specifically what the game was, but we were going down the field. We were almost, we were running out the clock, and he runs a play. I think just a running with a, I guess, handing the ball off to Forsett or something, and it doesn't stop the clock, and we needed the clock to stop in order to set up the next play. And I remember the bad time management he had, because it was like one of the first games my friend and my godson were watching, and I was saying, you got to run the clock, or you got to stop the clock so you got time, you don't waste a timeout. And Trestman didn't do that. So he does make mistakes like that, but with a the reason why I'm saying he'd be good with the quarterback coach is because he was able to take this guy, a quarterback who didn't know the system, and or at least he knew a little bit because he came from Houston, but he didn't know the system very well and was able to come in and do this. So that's why I'm saying that about Trestman. But a lot of people after this game are now saying, you know, the Ravens website are calling him the architect and stuff like that. It was one game. Trestman, he's got talent, but it was one game that I think he's done a good job on out of all the ones I've seen this year.
I mean, he was the architect for sure. I mean, well, like I said, it's going to be an intriguing factor going forward to see how we run the offense. Personnel-wise, I think let's see what happens and give him the benefit of the doubt when we get all of our pieces back and see how it shapes up in the draft and see if we can get some healthy guys going into next year. Very, very great point. And you're right, man, because he came in, Ryan Mallett came in, and it looks like he's been here all year. Flacco's back up instead of just that 1 week. So I was very impressed with the output, very impressed with how effectively. And he made a throw for the ages on that long third down, and he roped that right in there. And he just led the offense, man. He was calm, cool, and collected, didn't seem to get rattled from what I can see on the field. And very, very, very enjoyed seeing the execution out there. Very sharp.
Yeah, and the offensive line finally looks like they gave Mallett time. They made plenty of holes for the running backs to get through. The offensive line did a great job. My biggest worry right now with that offensive line, Kelechi Osemele, with his move over to a left tackle now. He looks really good, and it is a contract year. So potentially, do we not see him come back due to the fact that he is good, and we might not be able to afford him? But I hope that's not the case. I hope he does stay, because I think this offensive line is the way it should have looked, you know, throughout the whole year. But because of injuries, we only saw it for three games. And this whole offensive line, if they could have been healthy all year, we might have a couple more wins in there, because they have looked great this last couple weeks, especially this past week.
That's right, man. I mean, who knows what happens if some certain players didn't get hurt and what it should have, could have. So I think I really hope we can see him on the team next year. We'll see with our cap situation and personnel issues and see who we let go, who we keep. And I think that's going to really determine on what players remain stays here in Baltimore. And and looking back at that, one thing I really just want to say as a whole is, you know, being that, you know, away from the gameplay and talking about some of the changes, speaking of personnel, but field changes, is that was the last regular season game in M&T Bank Stadium for the foreseeable future now, because we're going to grass next year in 2016. So it's going to be a good look for us next year.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So, Josh, with this Red Eye review, have we covered everything?
Oh, man, we covered this Steeler sweep to the max.
All right, Steeler sweep. I love it. I love hearing Steeler sweep. That's the best. If you guys want to continue the conversation, you can. Josh and I are both on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And, Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
You can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, as well as Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like both pages over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. The Call Podcast Facebook page was very active after this Sunday's game. It was great interacting with all you guys, sharing that picture of Trestman and Ryan Mallett after the game. I think a lot of you guys were touched by that photo as well. You know, Josh posted some pictures from his seats up in what section are you in? Somebody was actually asking on Facebook.
I'm sorry, say that again.
What section are you in? People on Facebook are actually asking.
517.
You see, that's crazy. The guy on Facebook said 518. He knew exactly where you were in that stadium.
Oh, wow, that's perfect. I like that.
That's great.
Great.
Yeah, so go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Photos, videos, news articles, new podcasts. Whenever something comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now, guys, we want you to spread the word about The Call, about the Ravens. Be proud to be a Ravens fan. And we do the show for free. And you guys listen, you stream, and you download for free. All we ask in return is for you to tell people about us. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's it for the Red Eye Review this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, guys. It was great. The semi-season finale, we beat those Steelers. It was great to see them crying in their purple towels, or not purple towels, yellow towels. I had a purple towel that said Steelers suck, so it was great. But I was loving it. Really good to see them not beat us and put their playoff hopes on life support. It's great, man. What a great Christmas weekend to wrap up and a home season finale. And it's been a great run. Really can't wait to get out there. It is sad to say that this coming week is week 17 is very depressing. We've come a long way this season. We've endured a lot. But you know what? We're going to get better. We're going to get healed up. And we're going to come back stronger in 2016 with a revamped Ravens team. We got one more to go. Thanks for being with us. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.